Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills news with a UK twist. And we're hitting another primetime game this time, Sunday night, when we face the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, I'm Matt. This is Alex. Alex, how you been?
Oh, I'm fine. Just really nervously excited, cautiously optimistically excited. It's tough to say. But we before we get into the game, we have some news.
Yep, we have. Big Baller Bean has got his extension. About time. I think it's good now that we've got our head coach actually sewn up for, was it 6 years, wasn't it? And Bean for a couple of years. So they both expire, I think, in the same year, 2025 or something like that. Can't remember the exact details on there, but we've got that continuity now. We've got obviously potentially our franchise quarterback in there. So it's sort of the only way is up.
You know, looking at his draft history, there was a little bit of criticism, I think, earlier in the year, but looking at things now, it looks really good with obviously Josh Allen. That's gonna be Brandon Bean's legacy. If Allen turns into a 20-year quarterback, then both of those guys might go into the Hall of Fame. Tremaine Edmonds, fantastic pick. Harrison Phillips in the third round of 18, not a hit. But honestly, the third, fourth round of that draft, not that great. Taron Johnson, Surin Neal, Wyatt Teller, who turned out to be a really good player in Cleveland. How about that?
So
2018, obviously Allen and Edmonds, I think the two A picks there balance out the rest of the draft. 2019, Ed Oliver, Cody Ford, Devin Singletary, Dawson Knox are the big names there. Oliver, not the biggest splash, but very useful there. Cody Ford really came into his own this year. Singletary, I think if the offensive line helped him out more, he would do better. But honestly, you know, you grade a running back on, you know, like touchdowns and stuff like that and yards per carry and the way Allen runs, the way this offense is designed. Singletary is a good pick in the third round. Dawson Knox remains to be seen, right? I mean, he's so up and down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have your boyfriend, Voshan Joseph.
My boyfriend. Fuck off. Fuck off, my boyfriend.
You have so much love for so many fringe players on this roster. Like, to me, you talk about like these are our third and fourth linebackers, like they're gonna, you know, be game breakers. And I'm just like, all right, I mean, I love your optimism, but you love these middle round guys.
I think, I may have actually been a bit over the top with Joseph, the fact that he spent pretty much the whole season on IR and then they cut him after that because he didn't have a good training camp. But I still think Dodson will be a very serviceable linebacker on there.
And that's fine. I'll take serviceable. It's just that you get really excited about these guys.
I'm getting excited about Dane Jackson, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, here we go. 2020 for Bean. Epinesa, Moss, Gabe Davis, Tyler Bass, great pick, right? We haven't really known what Isaiah Hodgins can do, and you have Dane Jackson as well. So, Epinesa was the best they could do at that spot. But honestly, the best thing about Bean is his ability to work the roster outside of the draft. If he can get two guys per draft, I'll be happy with that because his ability to work free agency, his ability to work trades has been gangbusters.
Yeah, I think going back to what you were briefly said, obviously, with the Ed Oliver one, I think people are expecting him to come in and be that Aaron Donald type player for the Bills. More recently, he's been playing out the one technique spot, I believe, in recent games. So he's eaten quite a few of those double teams and all that, freeing up the gap for the other D linemen. So I think he is that solid pick, and that would have been that right pick at that spot. So I don't think this, because the stats aren't standing out, that people think he's a bust. I think he's doing his job, and maybe if Star does come back next year, or we get a good solid run stuffer.
And I think I understand what you're saying. I think it's going to be really tough though for a guy to take a year off and then come back. That usually never works out well.
Oh no, that's true. That's true. I mean, if he'd come back, or we get someone in that can do the Star role, then you could probably see Ed Oliver with a bit more savviness. Now he's actually played both. He's been double teamed in another year, this third year, explode. Then by all means, it'll be the coming of Ed Oliver will just be like the coming of Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Almost.
I mean, you look at the rest of that draft after Ed Oliver. If you really want to, you know, look at sacks, if you really care about that thing, I don't. I care about his ability to stop gaps and plug holes and, you know, take double teams and let other guys get in. Brian Burns, a defensive end for Carolina, has 13 sacks. Montez Sweat, a defensive end for Washington, has 13 sacks. So those guys are two guys that we could have had, but honestly, being decided, you know, get the defensive tackle who could do everything and get defensive ends through other means. And he's done that. So earlier on in the year, like I said, you know, there was a little bit of hesitation towards, you know, being like, all he's done is Josh Allen. But honestly, you know, with W's comes respect. And and things have just looked a lot better lately. I'm super down with the idea. It was just me really allowing one person to get inside my head about Brandon Bean, where they're like, look at his draft history. You know, he doesn't hit on third rounders down. I'm like, who the f- does, you know? It's such a crapshoot. You know, you're not going to get, you know, Pro Bowlers every year in the fifth round. You just, not one team always does that. So I've been really happy with Bean's drafting, over the moon with, you know, the Diggs move was great. You know, you look at some of the moves on the defensive line, it took a while for them to gel, but things are looking good now. There was criticism of Addison and some of those guys earlier in the season, but I think once McDermott and Frazier got things sorted, it's looked really good there. So congratulations to Bean and his family. Well deserved, and hopefully some W's for years to come.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, as you said, he's married to the Allen pick. And before we go into the Steeler preview, interesting stats actually popped up, the comparison between Allen and Kelly within their first each guy's first 39 career starts. Josh Allen is 24 for 15 win loss. Jim Kelly 20-19. Completion percentage, Allen's 61.1, Jim Kelly's 59.8. Pass yards, Josh Allen 8,566, Jim Kelly 8,810. Touchdown to interception ratio, Josh Allen 29 interceptions, 56 touchdowns. Jim Kelly 40 interceptions, 52 touchdowns. And passer rating, 88 for Josh Allen, 83 for Jim Kelly. So you can see there how obviously you're going to have Al married to Brandon Bean for his career. But look out those stats against the best quarterback the Bills will or ever had, probably up until Josh Allen actually reaches his 10th year and breaks all the records.
Yeah,
that they've got that really good pick. And interesting, if you believe in superstition, the Bills won the AFC East in Kelly's third season with the team.
So if we do that, look out. I think it's going to be easy for Josh Allen to break Jim Kelly's records. As long as he stays healthy, just over the simple fact that you have a different league, you know. Looking at Jim Kelly's, let me get his yards per game. I'm just thinking about this now, so I'm getting it. 221 is Jim Kelly's yards per game. Josh Allen. Oh, I should have done this before we started talking.
I've flung that on you, so that's probably...
Josh Allen's yards per game is 214. Obviously, he had a really bad 2018. 2019 was pretty average, but this year he's averaging 283, which I think is what Pro Bowl quarterbacks do nowadays. So if Allen can go 250 for the rest of his career, he's going to break all of Jim Kelly's records. I can't believe we're talking about that. You know, how great is this? You know, we ended our last show by me saying, how fun is this? And now we're talking about Josh Allen breaking Jim Kelly's records. You know, it would have been nice to have done this sooner because it's been so long. But, you know, not every team goes from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. But unfortunately, you know, Luck with the injury. Every team really does have, when they have a great quarterback, it takes a few years. And here we are. I mean, think about New England. Hopefully they don't have another good quarterback forever because fuck New England.
Yeah, exactly.
This has been so fantastic and a lot of fun.
Yeah. So let's move on to it. Preview, the big one, Bills Steelers, Sunday night football. It's the 11-1 now, Steelers against the 9-3 Bills. And the Bills can actually clinch a playoff berth with a win, providing that Baltimore lose to the Browns, Miami lose to the Chiefs, the Raiders lose to the Colts, and obviously last night, when this was recorded, this podcast, New England losing to the Rams. So that's one fifth one piece of the pie.
Puzzle.
One fifth of the pie filled. Puzzle, yeah, pie. Jigsaw, whatever you want to call it, sorted. So,
well, you know what's great about this? We're so used to looking at these playoff scenarios because we're usually fighting for our lives. I have no doubt that we're going to make the playoffs. Right now, the scenarios are, how could we get the first seed? The scenarios are, when can we lock up the division? How awesome is the fact that we're talking about that? I mean, this is the most exciting time for a Bills fan in unbelievably long. I can get used to this.
Yeah. I think for us, the number one seed is probably out of our hands on that.
You gotta have us win out and you have to have Pittsburgh lose two and Kansas City lose two.
Yeah. So I
read that if we're all tied, then that loss to Kansas City isn't factored into the tiebreaker because Pittsburgh's also involved. So it comes down to like margin of victory or strength of schedule, and we have that over those two teams.
Yeah, and the way the Browns are going, I could see them giving Pittsburgh a good run for money. Yeah. So that would actually they'd lose to us and potentially lose to the Browns, and that's the last week 17 game for the Steelers. So I believe the second seed probably be the best case scenario for us. Obviously the fourth will probably be the worst case, but
so do you want to get greedy and hope that Miami beats Kansas City, or do you just want to lock up the division and have Kansas City beat Miami?
I'd rather have us lock up decisions and the Chiefs beat the Dolphins. Yeah. I'd rather have that little bit of buffer, because you never know what's going to happen in the game. We'll probably win out, but in those remaining weeks, you will not know what's happening. So if you've got that little bit more of a buffer to Miami, you're then going to be, you're going to at least feel a little bit more calmer, that you know it's still in your own destiny, but you have that gap to actually, to maybe lose one game, maybe. And obviously know that you can still clinch the AFC East.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think that it kind of makes me wish that we were playing Pittsburgh at 1 o'clock and then Miami, Kansas City was Sunday night. Just so if we win, then I would want Kansas City to lose so we can case that one spot. But if we lose to Pittsburgh, then I'm going to want Kansas City to beat Miami.
No, exactly.
But unfortunately, we don't have that scenario. So if whatever happens in Kansas City and Miami will dictate, you know, how much more pressure we have about this game. And let's talk about this game.
Let's go for it.
This is
what we're here for.
This is the big one. Okay.
This is the statement.
It's no. No more statement games. There's no such thing as a statement game anymore. Okay.
Yeah,
we are the darlings of the NFL this week. All right. We have been talked about as in the top tier of the AFC. There's not a loss that can happen to us that'll make people think that we're bad or pretenders. Everybody knows that we're contenders. If we lose, it's a step back, but it's not a, you know, an avalanche.
No, exactly.
I mean, in my Niners preview, I said that that game would look a lot like the Steelers game from last year. I was wrong. Yeah. Josh Allen handled them. I'm almost like 80% on the way to saying that I trust Josh Allen to beat any defense in the NFL.
Mm. No, exactly. I think it is there. I think the way he's now gone, you can now actually see it. That you're gonna get Josh Allen now full of confidence, actually going in and with this offensive cast and what we did to the 49ers and how bad this year the Pittsburgh defense the Pittsburgh defense is actually good this year, but this will be a game that won't be that shouldn't face Josh, and if he can slice and dice the Pittsburgh defense and that secondary, then you could actually claim that we could go pretty much all the way. You'd be looking at potentially the championship game and maybe even the Super Bowl. That's just how high his ceiling now has actually has got. He's got the confidence. You can see in his in how all his stats have improved over the year. I mean, he's ninth in completion percentage with 69.9. Roethlisberger's 16th with 66.9. He's sixth in quarterback rating with 75.1. Roethlisberger is 65.1% quarterback rating, 17th in there. So you can see how much he's actually now elevated his game there. It's probably going to be the toughest defense that we would have faced all season. And to be honest with the Steelers, even though they're what, third or fourth overall defense, they're probably going to be the strongest one that we'll face. And it's all on Josh. If he can slice and dice, we're in a very much strong position.
Well, I'll measure up the Pittsburgh defense in a minute, but before we get into the nitty gritty there, I mean, I just want to talk about like the struggle that I've had in analyzing this game. It's literally an angel and devil on the shoulder situation. I mean, the angel says, trust the process. The devil says, look at the last 20 years of proof of what the Bills are. You know, I mean, the old Bills fan in me says we're going to lose, but the new Bills fan in me, the Josh Allen Bills fan in me, says we can win this. So I'm pretty divided there. So my fallback is the numbers. So let's look at those.
Yeah. And
the most interesting thing about Pittsburgh is that they've had the second easiest schedule in the league this year, with only Miami having an easier time. And it's really not even close. When you consider Pro Football Reference's simple rating system and strength of schedule, Miami's is they've had a, based on average, their schedule has been negative 3.2 to average. Pittsburgh is negative 2.2. The next closest is Washington at 1.6. So what this tells me is that Miami and Pittsburgh have faced maybe two or three tough games all year, and that's it. You know. In terms of Pittsburgh, the toughest offensive opponent they've had has been Tennessee, based on that simple rating system of Pro Football Reference. So what they do is it measures a team's production against league average. And only Tennessee is better than Buffalo's offense on the Steelers' schedule. So that game ended in a 3-point margin of victory, with Tennessee missing a field goal with 19 seconds left to tie the game. Tennessee's offensive rating is 5.6 to average. The Bills are 5.5. The next best on Pittsburgh's schedule is Baltimore at 1.9. So that is telling me that Pittsburgh's defense has not been tested the way they will be tested Sunday night. And that's really what I rely on, you know. When we compare the Bills defense of last year to the Bills defense of this year, I like to say that the Bills defense was outstanding last year because they had a really easy schedule. And I'm really thinking that that's what Pittsburgh has been able to do this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's going to be a really good game. That's for sure. I think it's going to be a high powered offense versus the steel curtain, they used to call them. On there. I mean, the last time I think the Bills faced a team that actually coming off a game that they believe they should have won was the Chiefs when they lost to the Raiders the week before. They came back out and actually beat us. Okay, or what? Just beat us. We let them have it on there. But you know that Pittsburgh are now going to come out with it and actually go for it and actually want to redeem themselves from losing to the Redskins from the worst division in the NFL on there. And they're going to have James Conner back and obviously still have Claypool if he recovers from his illness, and obviously Juju there to actually spread it. So
yeah,
it's going to be really interesting.
But I mean, obviously the story about Pittsburgh is their defense. Even though I said that they've had an easy go of it, let me just give you the numbers on their defense. It's kind of astounding. Fewest points against, second fewest yards against, fewest yards per play against, the most takeaways, fewest first downs allowed, fewest passing yards allowed, and one of only three team defenses that has a positive expected point total, which means that their defense has positively contributed to their team's margin of victory. Only three teams in the NFL can say that. They blitz 40%. They lead the league in QB hurries, second in QB knockdowns, and lead the league in sacks and QB pressure percentage.
They're 11-1. I mean, everyone's going to say that it's their strength of schedule. That really is the reason why they're 11-1. But another interesting fact is that wins against teams with winning records this season, the Steelers have had at least three wins against teams with winning records. The Bills are the only team that had more with four. So even though they're 11 and one, it's a case that they have been riding that defense, but they have found the way to win on the offense with some of those weapons to actually get them in that 11-1 spot. I mean, Washington probably given the team the game plan to actually to potentially beat Pittsburgh. It's now up to obviously to the Bills to actually expand on that and get them to a point where they can thread the needle, so to speak, and get that pressure, find those weaknesses in that defense, which there is. Mm-hmm. Every defense has a weakness. Then that find it and then exploit it. And that's the good thing about obviously the ball this year and this offense. They're tailoring their offense to specific games. So for example, the game last week, the Seahawks game, they were throwing more, and that went into their game plan. And obviously they had a few rushes here. So it's what I'm liking is that there's going to be weaknesses, and the ball is going to have that game plan probably set up on how they're going to attack.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see what Pittsburgh might do when they come out, because you know they haven't run the ball well over the last 6 weeks. You know, they just got their bread and butter is a short passing attack with yards after carry, yards after catch. But Washington really shut that down. So will Pittsburgh try and spread the ball deeper against us? Will they try and run the ball with Connor back? It's interesting to see if they make any adjustments. They've had issues with the wide receiver drops over the last few weeks. I've seen like 12 to 15 drops over the last few weeks between all their wide receivers. I mean, Roethlisberger's built for December football. Claypool, he just not yet, you know, we could see that.
Yeah.
But honestly, you know, even with good stats against bad teams, I truly believe that their pass rush is elite and there's no doubt there. The biggest storyline of this game for me is going to be what the Bills' offensive line can do to protect Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, from that, I mean, Allen so far this year is the most blitzed quarterback in the league, so I think he's ready for this matchup. One other caveat is that Joe Hayden might be out for Pittsburgh with a concussion, so that will really help create space for Diggs, Beasley, and Davis to make things just a little bit easier.
You
know, one thing that we might do to take a page out of Pittsburgh's playbook, Roethlisberger gets rid of the ball faster than any other quarterback. He only uses 2.1 seconds in the pocket, where that's lowest in the league, whereas Josh is in the top 10 in the league. He has around 3 seconds in the pocket. So if we maybe switch to something where we're getting the ball out quickly, working Beasley and Diggs, getting yak yards, kind of just beating Pittsburgh with their own offense, I think that's an opportunity that we'll have here.
No, exactly. I think the one thing that we're really going to now is going to look to exploit is their linebackers, and obviously lost Devin White for the season.
Yes, I did read about their linebacker depth. They've had some injuries. One of them is coming back, but another one, I don't have their
Avery
names
Williams.
At the top of my head. I didn't write them down.
Avery Williamson, I think, has gone to the COVID list. So they're going to be weaker on there, which then will bring in Beasley, and maybe that's the way that you're going to attack.
Knox might have a big game here.
Yeah, because you're getting linebackers that come back a bit of depth. So if Allen can get that quick release on there, that underneath play is really going to be the difference maker in there. So if we can force them to play a bit lower, you'll have Davis who seems to be a ghost sometimes and actually can ghost his way past any defensive.
Yeah.
It seems and Diggs obviously stretching a little bit and then go underneath. I mean, McKenzie, he'll be another key player in there. So we've got the game plan, I think, and obviously Allen is great in the intermediate game.
Yeah, I mean, so, comparing again the season and what they've faced, I mean, they haven't faced a passing offense like ours. I mean, they haven't. I mean, like I said, the best quarterback they played in terms of pocket passer is Tannehill. Maybe Baker Mayfield. I mean, they played Houston in week 3, maybe a little bit too early to really get a good feel for things. But yeah, they played Deshaun Watson, gave up 231 passing yards. But I mean, Houston was a mess early in the season. Lamar Jackson is a running quarterback. We've seen him not be able to throw the ball well this year. They played Dallas close. They played Washington close. Washington beat them, obviously. The teams that are halfway decent, they've played close. So I'm really thinking that Allen, hot right now, 3 wide receivers, Singletary out of the backfield who can catch. I'm really hoping that we can overwhelm their defense with how much we can do. Whereas their other opponents this year, they've only really had to focus on 1 or 2 players, where now you got to focus on 4 because our quarterback can throw better than Lamar, but he can also run a bit. I mean, we really are going to be able to throw everything we have at them. And this is the biggest challenge the Steelers defense has faced all year.
And you can't sleep on Cole Beasley.
He's got
more yards than this season than AJ Brown, more receptions than DK Metcalf, more yards per reception than DeAndre Hopkins, more touchdowns than Julio Jones, and more 100-yard games than Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show the way that Allen and Beasley and Diggs are all on the same page. I mean, how fantastic would it be if they both had 1,000 yards? I mean, that would have never been comprehensible, if that's a word. I never would have comprehended the ability for the Bills offense to do something like that when we drafted Josh Allen. Even last year, I'm like, okay, Diggs, yeah, maybe Diggs will get 1,000, but the rest of the guys are going to take a hit to their numbers, and they're not. This has been just the most fun football to watch
I think it can actually happen. I mean, Beasley's only like 240 yards or so away from a thousand yards. Mm-hmm. But the one last thing, obviously, I want to put out, because I think there's probably someone else you may want to add. It's obviously the injury report this week. Latest, obviously, after this podcast comes out, there'll be obviously the Friday report, but for Thursday, obviously, Josh Allen was a full participant. Feliciano was limited after having being full practice on Wednesday, but that was their walkthrough. Jake Fromm, obviously, COVID relief.
Yeah, I don't think we need to talk
about that. So practicing from home. Jefferson was limited with the hip. Jaquan Johnson did not practice, which is to his ankle. And Andre Roberts actually limited with an Achilles. So that's probably the most healthiest report really you've seen in God knows how long. So it's coming, these injuries are coming or happened at the right time. And now we're getting players back, which are fitter, and they've seem to work a lot more on their strengths. Strength and conditioning, that once we get John Brown back, give him a week or two, and we could probably be one of the healthiest teams in that division. And the way we actually are playing, we could be that team that everyone is now going to not sleep on and be worthy of all this darling media coverage that we're getting.
There, but I mean, could you imagine what this win would do to our reputation?
No, exactly.
My God, exactly. It's unfathomable.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. It's what you said earlier. It's what we've been saying through the throughout the season, or at least the last few weeks. This is probably the most excited we've been about a Bills team in God knows how long.
I mean, on your favorite show, Good Morning Football, you had Pete Traeger say that we could beat Kansas City if we play again.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah. I mean, that kind of respect is priceless.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things. I think it's this season is really defined where we're actually going to be. And we go back to the top of the podcast, and it's down to what Brandon Bean had actually done to actually get that extension, the way he's actually put that team together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's not beat around the bush any longer. Let's get to predictions. You know, I mean, I was really leaning on Pittsburgh before I looked at the stats, but I think I'm going to choose to listen to the angel on my shoulder and say that this is a game the Bills can win. I'm going to go 24-23 Bills.
Ooh, interesting. It's going to definitely be a Bills win. I mean,
definitely, he says.
Definitely. I see there'll be points in this game where we're going to actually think, fuck, we're going back to last year's offense and all that, and the defense is actually going back to its first half of the season plays. But that's not going to faze me, because we know we've talked about it, how well this Pittsburgh team is. but I do see a Bills win. I'm going 27 points to the Bills, and I think they'll hold them. I think it'll be like 17 Pittsburgh, 27-17.
Okay.
I'm going bold on this one.
Yeah, you are.
I think it'll be that sort of game. I think the way we've performed recently, especially with this defense now, and the fact that I believe we can actually stuff them quite a bit, and the way we've done it against other teams in the last few weeks, it's been one of those comeback seasons for this defense. So 27-17.
Favored by 1.5 points.
And you know what? I was like my prediction last week when I almost got it spot on if it weren't for that garbage time touchdown. 27-17 is my prediction.
Yeah, I mean, these are two teams where we both have 27.8 points per game on average. One of the telling things is that Josh Allen has 300 more yards than Ben Roethlisberger, but Ben Roethlisberger has over 40 more pass attempts on the season. So, all they do is throw the ball worse than we do. I am interested to see what they come out with. If they focus on the run, then maybe I'll be a little bit more worried. But if they try and stick to their guns and do their short passing game again, I think that we'll have it. But yeah.
So
you're going 10 points margin. I have us winning by one. This will be this is going to be a game where you're going to need a seatbelt.
This is a game where we're going to go 10-3. And Baltimore, Miami, and the Raiders are going to lose, and the Bills clinch the playoff berth in week 14.
I'm not used to everything good happening, everything going our way, but I'm there for it if it happens.
So, is there anything else that you want to add before we sign off?
No, that's it. I got to go get my hair cut, first one since lockdown, so I'm really excited.
So we can end it early so Alex can go get his haircut. It's thank you for listening, for following us. Obviously, keep subscribing to the podcast at UK_Bills, at RWBB_podcast, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook and YouTube. And for Alex, this is Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. See you on Sunday or Monday. When we actually become 10-3 Buffalo Bills. And that's all left to say is go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us. Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. 1, 2, 3.